Every time we play, that's how it has to look. I would love to play linebacker behind 99, 75, 98, all these guys knocking people back, all right, on the fourth and one stop, because it's energy, it's the effort that we play with every time, all right? Once again, right here, look at the big guys up front, 70, 75, 99, Osa, Big Juice. It all starts up front, all right? It all starts up front with the energy. So, guys, if we don't
have a great understanding that we set a standard, you men set the standard, all right? We got to be there every day. We can't be when we want to be great, all right? We do it every fucking day.
Okay, so the coaches will individually talk about where we fell short yesterday in their rooms. But understand, we only go as far as you guys go, okay? You can't get the juice from us. We ain't on the field with you. All right, you gotta fucking bring that juice because the standard is here and we're gonna win a fucking championship because of you men, all right? So let's not be teetering with the shit, all right? Because you put it on film, all right? So let's make sure we do it.
Well, that's not a familiar voice. It's not, right? I'm not wrong, right? And that voice is sort of muffled during some of that speech. Like the guy speaking is on one of those Zoom calls that we are all so tired of being on. Well, that's because that's Joe Witt, the defensive backs coach, running the Cowboys defensive team meeting. And it's because the defensive coordinator who would usually run the defensive meeting, former Super Bowl head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons, who's now in Dallas this season, isn't allowed to be in the building because of COVID-19 protocols. And that muffled Zoom noise, well, that's because, yes, Witt is actually on Zoom for this meeting, as well as being in person with some of the players. And because of the rules and these new protocols, he is in a meeting where some folks are in person, some folks are on Zoom, some folks are actually in the room next to him watching on Zoom, and he's the number two guy running the meeting, and he's looking for cameras because he wants to make sure everyone's included, and the number one guy cannot be in the building. I repeat, cannot be in the building. It's not ideal, right? Welcome to the 2021 NFL season, and welcome to episode 4 of Hard Knocks. Welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast. It's a joint production of HBO Sports and NFL Media. My name's Peter Schrager, and from Monday to Friday, I'm the host of NFL Network's Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football, but I am enjoying my role here as the host of this podcast this summer, giving a more in-depth insider recap of the Hard Knocks episodes that we see each week. We've got a great guest joining me in a bit. That's James Slater of the NFL Network, who happens to be with the Cowboys every single day this summer and has some really interesting thoughts on why this season of Hard Knocks and the access that the NFL films and HBO crews have are all the more significant in a COVID world. We'll get to Jane in a bit. But first, let's recap some of the highlights from episode 4. So we start with the COVID stuff, and I'm not being flippant. That's what it's the COVID stuff, because like so many other NFL teams and schools and workplaces, it's rearing its ugly head again. And how each team or academic institution or company deals with it could be the difference from a winning culture and a losing one. So is the chemistry and friendship off the field for a football team. We get to spend a lot of time off the field with some key players in this episode. We get to spend time with Jaquan Hardy, the running back who wants to make the team. And Hardy tells us that the reason why Usain Bolt is so fast is because he eats so many yams. We get to play Connect Four with rookie Micah Parsons and his veteran linebacker teammate, Leighton Vander Esch. Parsons has a treatise on why the animal, the jaguar, is where it is in the animal kingdom. All this is great fun, and yes, part of Hard Knocks is getting to know these guys as people and not just players, but there is football in this episode. And Amari Cooper, the wide receiver who'd been off the practice field most of training camp, he's back. Cooper, who's never been known to be a big talker, spends a little bit of the episode listening to Trevon Diggs, the defender on the Cowboys, talk all sorts of trash on him. And when Diggs says that Cooper would not catch a single ball all practice, quarterback Dak Prescott inserts himself and backs up his wide receiver. Cooper's a former Pro Bowler, and when he has to, he goes to work and shows that, yes, he still has it. Diggs is a precocious second-year player whose star is definitely on the rise, but when he lines up against Cooper, it's no match with the entire team watching, Amari wins the battle.
Diggs says he won't catch a ball. He won't catch a ball.
I love that.
There it is. That's a winner, whatever I wanted to do right there, at least.
Touchdown.
That was awesome.
And that's why I said bet.
Hey, way to compete, man. Let's come out tomorrow. We're going to be out here. Let's get better. Let's take a step. Let's grind, man. Family on three. One, two, three, family.
And Cooper makes me laugh because I mentioned he's not a talker. I've known this guy for a long time, and he is the least diva wide receiver you'll find. He's also not one of these guys who's all about the talk and the trash and the I'm going to taunt you. He's quiet. He's nice. And after the scene, it's almost adorable. He apologizes for running his mouth at Trevon Diggs.
Man, that got me riled up. I don't usually talk to people like that. I apologize, 2-7. That was all Dak, man.
The whole scene is great, and it's a departure from all of the early COVID talk in the episode. It's an awesome moment where you see competition, you see desire, you see skill, but you also see Dak Prescott's influence on the Dallas Cowboys. You see, he's the instigator. He's the Pied Piper of the entire scene. He's egging everyone on, but he's also getting the best out of his teammates. If only he was the guy throwing the pass on the play, though. He wasn't. We haven't seen Dak throw many passes at all this season. And then, just as you start to wonder if we're ever going to see number four do what we've been hoping we would see, 23 minutes into the fourth episode of the Hard Knocks season, we get a glimpse at something glorious. It's Dak Prescott throwing the ball with velocity, with zip. It's great. Dak's in the zone. And just listening to him grunting, swearing, and slicing the defense up in practice is like music to a Cowboys fan's ears. They actually put music to the clip. Cue the violins. It's beautiful.
I put a little touch on that one. It worked out. What they got? I might take these. Let's be smooth. Let's run fast. Let's get in and out. I'm telling you, I'm playing quick. Mentally and throwing that bitch. Let's go.
All day, all day. There you go.
Oh, I'm back. Huh? That wasn't no fucking pick. You crazy. It was him and nobody. Huh? There wasn't no out of bounds. What'd you say, J. Lou? Huh? Hey, it's all right here.
Yeah. Great, right?
Yeah, great. Great. It felt good to got this bitch.
Dak's the biggest story this season for this team. His shoulder, his new contract, his presence touching every piece of the Dallas Cowboys business model. Jane Slater has been covering the team on a daily basis for the NFL Network since she joined the league-owned and operated network in 2015. I spoke with her about Dak and about Coach Mike McCarthy, second-year man, who we're trying to get to know this season, despite not a ton of footage of what he's like off the field. We're also talking to Jane about the COVID protocols and why Hard Knocks, an all-access show with footage unseen by the daily reporters who work the beat, is all the more important in the 2021 NFL media landscape. So excited to have our guest for this week's episode. I've known her for 5 years now. She's fantastic. She is one of the best reporters in the game, and she's also one of the best reporters at the NFL Network. She covers a lot of teams, but she is in that America's Team market. So I often go to her for Cowboys information where she is dialed in. Jane Slater, welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast.
Your check is in the mail, Peter Schrager. Thank you for that intro.
It is all genuine. You know how I feel about your work and you as a person. And you've been there every day, this training camp and preseason. You've done the work. Here we are in the fourth episode, and we still are kind of left with questions about Dak, about what this team's going to be, about the defense. As the preseason wraps up and you're covering this team on a daily basis, what's the vibe there in Dallas?
I mean, honestly, it's very much what you're getting from Hard Knocks. And I attribute that to a lot of this being with Mike McCarthy. He's sort of kept a lid on this group. I think that's why they were as upset as they were last year when I came out with the defensive report about things, sort of the wheels coming off the bus. His big thing is insulating, keeping things inside. But as you know, Peter, being an NFL insider, it doesn't happen that way. Now, I have appreciated having those cameras around the team because, quite frankly, a lot of us haven't gotten to know the personalities of the coaches, or for that matter, a lot of the rookies from last season and this season because of COVID, because mm-hmm. we don't have access to the locker room. We don't know how these coaches interact. All I could go on last year was what I was being told. So now we're beginning to see some element. I would have loved to have had cameras last year when Mike Nolan and Jim Tomsula were coaching this defense.
Yeah.
But I think what we've seen from Dirty and, of course, Dan Quinn is how well these guys have responded to them. But I still don't feel like I've gotten a really great insight into Mike McCarthy and his personality, which is the vibe that we get as reporters.
Yep.
So I find that very interesting. I don't think that, and I'll throw this back to you, Peter, do you get a sense of who he is or his relationship with the players from Hard Knocks?
No. So we had Greg Jennings on in the second week and he played 7 years for Mike McCarthy. And I'm like, can you give us a little something on Mike McCarthy? Cause we're not getting it. We had the mojo moment and it's like, okay, I guess there's a goofy, silly side that I didn't necessarily know, but Greg was like, he is all about the players and protecting the players and they're open and honest with him, but we have not seen any conflict with McCarthy in a player. We have not seen any moments of great encouragement or inspiration from McCarthy on Hard Knocks. And look, you tell me, you get 1 year in Dallas where you go 6-10, and I don't know if you get two in that market. I don't know if Jerry's gonna do it. So we haven't seen a load of personality. You certainly don't walk away from these Hard Knocks episodes being like, oh my God, I want to run through a wall for Mike McCarthy like you did with McVay or maybe even Anthony Lynn last year.
Well, Sean McVay, we got to see him in the pool, right? With interacting with his beautiful supermodel, hot Ukrainian Russian fiance at the time. And I think that was a memorable moment. Anthony Lynn being in his office.
Yep.
I walked away feeling a type of way. I mean, the only one that I think that has stood out to me was John Fossil's transparency about vasectomies.
Yeah. And
I learned something, Peter.
Sure, that's it. I didn't know that information either. And reverse vasectomies, whatever else he had done. But you're right, the coach we're getting the most out of, and there's been some Dan Quinn, is the human interest story of, you pronounce it for me, Arden Dirty, is that how it's pronounced?
I just always think of Chameleonaire, Riding Dirty.
Riding Dirty, great song, Arden Dirty. But like, I don't know if Arden Dirty is the most important person on this team, and yet McCarthy, I feel like you could tell he's not looking to be a part of the cameras. And Dan Quinn, he's a former head coach. He's up there in the booth. They've got him, but that's a great take from you. And the second point you made, and I think it was really interesting during the Hall of Fame preseason game, where Aaron Andrews is interviewing CeeDee Lamb. And my wife and I are sitting there and she finishes with CeeDee Lamb and Aaron does. And my wife says to me, oh my God, I love that guy's smile. He's got a great personality. Like, what's he like as a, I go, I have no idea. Because of the COVID rules, the reporters, we're kind of kept at bay. And for you to be there every day and still not have a personal locker room experience, or I guess, Jane, tell the listeners like kind of what you're day would be like pre-COVID and now what it sort of is because of the COVID protocols.
You know, and it's so interesting because, you know, we're once again not going to be allowed in the locker rooms this year. And, you know, when reporters like my colleague Aditi Kinkawala put it out there, I noticed the comments and the pushback, you know, why do you need to be in the locker room? And I'll be the first to say it. The locker room is an uncomfortable place, even after as many years as I've been doing it. It's never felt natural to be in a room with a bunch of men that are changing, waiting for them to come to their locker. In some cases, Maury Cooper 1 year was like, hey, can I just get a towel wrapped around? I mean, it's literally like that.
Is that. Yep.
And it's just always funny to me that people at home don't realize that. I remember I once did an interview with Michael Thomas and he was shirtless with a, you know, a vintage towel around his neck and literally just wearing a towel wrapped around him. And so we had it from, you know, waist up, and people literally commented, you know, why doesn't he put a shirt on? And it was just always fascinating to me. I don't think people really get that a component of my job requires me standing in this open locker room mm-hmm. for an hour waiting for someone to talk to us. So it's always felt a little antiquated to me. And I remember some reporters would get really annoyed when I would even bring it up. I've always argued you could just grab the guys coming off the field like we do at training camp, and it would be just as easy. Going back to why it's important to have that access, it's because in years past, one of the more entertaining guys in the locker room is Joe Looney. You don't get to talk about Joe Looney or highlight Joe Looney's personality without the locker room. We wouldn't be able to tell you that Amari Cooper is obsessed with chess. Him and Shinobi Awuzie played every single day without us being able to acknowledge it. We wouldn't have been able to tell you in year one with Dak Prescott when Tony Romo got injured why we thought Dak Prescott had won that locker room, because they were playing this basketball game using the trash cans every day. So it's those little things that you get to see them uniquely away from the podium that lends itself to stories. And then you're also able to say to the guys, hey, any chance I can grab your number in case something comes up during the season and stay in touch? And I feel like I'm covering college football again, because that's exactly how college football is. You don't really have access to players. It's very managed tightly by, you know, the PR staffs. And so again, in a roundabout way, getting back to your initial question, CeeDee Lamb, all we knew about him as reporters was heading into the draft, him snapping the phone out of his girlfriend's hand,
because
we later learned it was his agent FaceTiming him, right? But when my favorite moment, when you talk about what have been the memorable moments, and there haven't been that many, was him in his room packing up his bag and saying, you know, I've got big plans for myself this year. What are they? Well, I don't want to get into that. And it's pretty cool seeing, you know, some of my plays on social media. Like, it's pretty cool seeing your play. You are an absolute bona fide star.
Unbelievable player.
Wearing 88, the number that Jerry wanted you to wear because his college teammate, I actually never knew a long time ago that 88 was so iconic to Jerry because one of his college teammates wore that number.
I didn't know that either.
So he wanted CD to wear that. And we all kind of thought it was a slap in the face, because I think if Dez in his honest moments with us would tell you, I think there was a part of him that hoped maybe there'd be a fifth spot on the team. And it sort of felt like a little bit of a closing of the door completely when they drafted him. But I just thought, wow, CD is, for all of his success at OU and all of his success last year, we weren't talking about him enough because we didn't get those interactions with them. And we were talking a lot about Amari Cooper when he came in, because Amari is probably one of the most cerebral players I've ever interviewed. He reminds me so much, when I was covering golf locally or at Texas, Jordan Spieth, if you asked him about his 18 holes, he can walk you through every single hole. It's fast. I can't even remember what I did earlier today. And so Amari Cooper was very much, and if you ask Amari Cooper the question the wrong way, he'll come back at you. Well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't come in with the who, what, when, where, why, and how, his brain doesn't process. I mean, he's smarter than all of us.
Yeah.
And so again, we get that perspective and we're talking about Amari because of those interactions. And I think that's what's really been missing for this team. And I think across the league, but specifically the Dallas Cowboys, who are used to so many personalities, I can't really tell you the personalities. And then people will say to me, well, who's the leader in the locker room these days? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard
yeah.
to say.
I'm not in the
locker room. I appreciate it on the sideline seeing DeMarcus Lawrence coaching up the young bucks. I appreciated seeing Leighton Vander Esch tell Micah Parsons, hey, you can't go make every single play. Yeah. You've got to execute what your play is. I appreciated Amari Cooper doing what we all expected. CeeDee Lamb over there being young and hungry, being like, explain to me what that release was. Because that's the big thing about Amari Cooper. I was always told, like, it's his release game that really stands out, how he does that quick little movement to throw you off. So I said to my boyfriend, was watching it with me, and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of bored, I think. And I said to him, I go, I feel like it's inside baseball for some of us who know this team, have watched it. We even chuckled. I know you had that great nugget about how many times did it take the drone to go through the facility? It was 15 times. The part for us that was inside baseball was, there is no one more proud of the art collection at AT&T Stadium than Jean Jones, Jerry's wife. It's her pride and joy. And that piece of art that stands there in front of the plaza is one of her favorites. And at the end, when I saw that cutaway of it, the piece of art,
you're like, down,
it was my favorite moment from the show that no one fully appreciated. Yep.
I think that's a great point, because it does seem almost like inside baseball a little bit, but how much we can appreciate. But a lot of my friends, and I'm candidly saying this on the podcast, will be like, it's a good season. And I'm like, you guys have no idea, like, to get that access to Dak Prescott's shoulder with this COVID protocol. And with this head coach, who's not Mr. Media, I think the Hard Knocks cameras and the HBO and NFL Films guys are getting us a lot. And there's like a lot to decipher afterwards.
Well, I think they're getting us as much as they can, right? Because I was told that there was some concern with COVID. You know, what are the cameras going to pick up? Because the rules have kind of been a little bit looser mm-hmm. than they were last year. They've also changed, evolved the goalposts, have moved a bit. You know, are you exposing the players on camera who chose not to get COVID and vilifying them in some way sure. because there's such an opinion of things? So I just wonder how much is getting, and we've talked about that, a lot of us reporters, like how much is actually getting left on the cutting room floor. But I think for the fans in Dallas, it would have really behooved us to get to know Mike McCarthy and his family. Like, he loves his family. He speaks about them glowingly. I think his daughter's an actress in LA, right? Like, I would have been fascinated with some of that stuff. Like, I want to know who Mike McCarthy is. And I haven't really gotten a sense of him from this show. And even Jerry Jones, he's been so emotional this season.
Right? Like, tearing up at press conferences. And
he started tearing up just thanking American Airlines for their sponsorship at the first practice back in Dallas. And, you know, when you've covered him, I love his passion, his authentic, like, emotion. I mean, this is, I always try to explain to people, especially here in Dallas, growing up here. I mean, my grandmother used to blame everything on Jerry Jones. If the weather was bad, it's Jerry Jones's fault. You know, Jerry, it's been the same drumbeat for years. But covering him and having a radio show in Dallas, he used to come on once a week. And, you know, we're asking him all about the personnel. I would submit that a lot of owners can't tell you about the number three running back.
Oh, I know they can't.
So when you've got, that's the thing that I appreciate about Jerry. And when he said at training camp, I could be anywhere in the world right now and I choose to be here. Have you seen that yacht? I've been told he doesn't love the yacht. Like, that's a yacht for Gene. He doesn't want to be in Mykonos this season with in the offseason with everybody. He wants to be in Oxnard. He wants to be here in Dallas with the team. And I love that about him. But I even think there's more story with Jerry.
It's always a story. Jane, thank you for joining us. This was awesome. And as we head towards the final episode, we'll be keeping an eye out on all these storylines and hopefully we'll get a little bit more of Mike McCarthy. I agree with you. I feel like we got a touch with some of it early on, but you're right. We haven't heard anything about his personal life. We haven't really seen him do one-on-one with any of the players. But I think as players start getting cut and he has heart-to-hearts with these guys, we'll get to know more about the man and the coach as he's the head coach of the most famous team in the world.
Real quick, Peter, what's your mojo moment?
My mojo mom. Got to ask my wife if there's ever been one. Well, we'll leave it at that.
Obviously, that's what led to you getting married, was you had some sort of mojo.
I had some sort of swag. That's it. Who knows? It's been too long. Jane, you're the best. Thank you. And we'll be talking with you again soon.
You too. Bye, bud.
Could have gone a lot of ways with the MVP of the week, but I'm going to go with our guy, Azor Kamara. The Ivory Coast native has a great story, and his family in the stands at multiple preseason games throughout this season have been absolutely wonderful. Here's his mother, the soundtrack to Kamara's final preseason performance in his fight to make the final 53-man roster with the Dallas Cowboys.
Kamara, the defensive end, makes the stop.
Yes, sir!
Good job, Azul. Good job, Azul. Good job. Good job, boy.
You see, it's pins and needles the entire first four episodes whenever Kamara's on screen. He is a guy who is so raw, and yet you can tell he wants it so badly. Is he going to make the team? Is he not going to make the team? He plays his butt off in this final game. And you're almost like watching with pride because we have seen him grow over the course of this series. I'll tell you this, Azor Kamara made it very hard for the Cowboys decision makers to cut him when the final decisions are to be made. Each week on this podcast, I like to look ahead at next week's Hard Knocks episode and what I'm looking for. You see, this one is tricky because usually the player cuts and the 53-man roster is the big cliffhanger in the final episode. Well, as we record this podcast fans of the NFL actually know who made the final 53-man Dallas Cowboys roster. But you can learn a lot about the man making those decisions in the final episode. You see, the Cowboys have to pick a backup quarterback. They have to decide whether Jaquan Hardy is going to be one of the running backs who makes the team. And we need to learn about our guys Azor Kamara and Ben DiNucci. We're not only going to go over who makes the team next week, we're going to find out how it's communicated to those players. You see, every coach is different. Every team is different. We're going to get a better idea on the decision-making process in Dallas and also who's really calling the shots in Big D this year. I can't wait for the season finale. I'm also curious to see how they form and shape this episode with knowledge that we already know going into the final week. And that's it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. This show was produced by HBO Sports and NFL Media. Make sure to check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO for exclusive clips from training camp all week long. You can access even more Hard Knocks content on NFL.com. And as always, listeners, we want to hear from you. So tweet me at pshrags. That's P-S-C-H-R-A-G-S. Give us your feedback. Maybe there's something or someone you'd like to learn more about, or there's a particular guest that you'd like to hear on the show. Give us a shout online. We will try to make that happen. I'm your host, Peter Schrager. This was produced by Grant Rutter and Trey Booty. Make sure to stream the next episode of Hard Knocks on Tuesday on HBO Max. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening.